Happy Easter. He is not risen as he supposed. He was dead, they thought, but he is risen from the dead. Amen. And we're so glad that we serve a risen Savior. I want to call your attention to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, kind of an unusual scripture for an Easter message, but it's a wonderful passage that will help us understand, I think, maybe more clearly, the gift the resurrection was to us. No resurrection, no salvation. No resurrection, no church. No resurrection, no Christian life. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we're doing here makes no sense. And the world would be right. But thank God Jesus is resurrected. He's on high with his Father sitting in heaven. Someday he's going to come up back again. And we'll rule and reign with him forever. Amen. So 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read for you the first early parts of this passage. Now therefore, Paul writing to Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In this passage, we have a challenge by Paul to Timothy. Then Paul helps Timothy to further understand the challenge by giving him an example of three pictures of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. Then Paul says to Timothy, there's motivation for this. And the motivation is found in verses 8 through 13. And so we want to look at this passage and see what Paul's trying to help us see. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Timothy spent many years, much time, working with Paul, watching Paul, listening and learning to what Paul had to say and what Paul did. He has now, by the time that these two epistles are written, Timothy has become the pastor of the Church of Ephesus. Church of Ephesus, by this time, was a great church. The estimates run into the thousands of members. Some historians believe that it's a church of 5,000 to 7,000 people. Some believe bigger than that. But however big it was a ministry that needed a pastor. The great Apostle John later worked in that same church. But it was at this time in the early church that some difficulties started to present themselves. False teachers were coming in, teaching false doctrine. Timothy had to deal with that. Disgruntled church members. You can't imagine I know everything here. The church could have disgruntled church members. Amen? But they do. He had to deal with that. The pressures of the ministry are great. And he had to deal with that. In fact, by this time, persecution had begun. And there was a lot of difficulty even to be able to be a representative of the Christian in a church like Ephesus. So Paul writes this letter, and especially this second chapter, to equip Timothy and to encourage Timothy, and I think to warn Timothy about the work of the gospel ministry. Now, let me just say this. This passage isn't just for Timothy. It's for us also. And we need to learn from these statements that Paul is going to make to Timothy what the Christian life is about. How it affects our life as believers and what we're to do with it. And so Paul begins this second chapter of Timothy with a challenge. And I want you to notice the challenge. Notice number one. He challenges Timothy to be strong. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Grace in this particular verse means the ability to do what you cannot do in and of yourself. It's hard to live the Christian life. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I thought, boy, everything's solved now. All the problems are fixed. That wasn't true at all. Living the Christian life is difficult. The world doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. And there's pressure in the Christian life. And Paul knew that there was going to be pressure for Timothy as pastor of that church. That he was going to be under some restraint. Paul faced that. He knew what he was talking about. And so he says to Timothy, you have to be strong. You have to be a stalwart. You have to be able to stand up firm when things aren't going so good. In fact, Paul knew about that. In fact, turn over to 2 Corinthians just for a second. And verse number 9 of chapter 12. Paul says this. You remember Paul had a vision. And it was an incredible heavenly vision. And to protect Paul from becoming too prideful about it, the Bible says that Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. It's called the messenger of Satan, sent to buffer. Verse 9, and he said to Paul, after Paul had sought God to remove it, God said to Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul then said, therefore, gladly will I rejoice in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Timothy had to come to that position in his life, that he would rely upon the grace of God to help him stay the course, to stand firm under persecution, to be built up in the faith, to lead a church, to be what he was supposed to be. He could not do it on his own. He needed courage to stand. And he's only going to get that by the grace of God. Listen to me very carefully. You cannot live the Christian life on your own. If you try to do that, you're going to fail. You're going to give up before it's over. A lot of people start out okay, but they don't finish right. There's no strength to stand. They've not learned to trust in God, they've not learned to follow God. And Paul's pretty committed here when he says, Timothy, here's the most important thing you need to know. Be strong. Be strong. The second thing he says in verse 2, it's an interesting statement. He says, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here's the second thing he said to Timothy. Number one, he said, be strong. Number two, he said, be a voice. Be a voice. In that verse, I don't know if you picked it up, four-generation discipleship is in that verse. Things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He said, Timothy, I've taught you. Now, Timothy, you're to teach others. And Timothy, your teaching is just to be so good and so well done that others will learn what you have learned from me, and they will teach others beyond that. That discipleship will carry on. But that doesn't happen if Timothy doesn't become a voice. He can't be silenced. He can't sit around and hope people discover by some special thing he is or does that he's a Christian. No, it requires opening your mouth and speaking. Amen? You have to say what you are and say what you believe. You have to be firmly committed to the fact that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And so he says to Timothy, number one, Timothy, be strong. Then he says, Timothy, be a voice. And then in the next four verses, he gives examples to Timothy to help him understand how to be strong and how to be a voice. Here's what he says. Timothy, there's this picture of a soldier. Listen to this. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, all God's people said. Know the word hardness means? It means difficulty beyond yourself. It's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. Pressures will mount. People won't always understand. Others will reject you out of hand. He says, endure hardness. Suffer. Affliction's going to come, Timothy. Distress will happen. In fact, this hardness even has the picture of a wounded soldier, one who has been troubled by a wound, and he endures the hardness. It means to stand firm when faced with adversity. How many people do you know that are Christians that used to be in church? Used to come to church. Used to be faithful. They're no longer here. They haven't learned this. You're a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. And just like those soldiers go off to war and fight battles and stay strong. By the way, a Roman soldier packed everything he owned on his back. He gave up his home, his livelihood, any property he may have had. And he took everything that he owned beyond that on his back and then went into battle. Fought. Stayed the course. Regardless of the difficulty or adversity, he stayed at it. A soldier endures. And then I think soldiers keep their focus. Soldiers don't focus on anything other than being ready to fight, being ready for the war. Titus said it this way, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered for the saints. You keep your focus right. You're enlisted in the greatest army in the world. And so he says, Timothy, listen. This challenge that I'm giving you to be strong, to be a voice, is like being a soldier. It's facing all the adversity, all the hardship, and never quitting. It's being a strong messenger of Jesus Christ. So he says, Timothy, be a soldier. Then he says, Timothy, this standing strong, this commitment to be a voice, is a picture of an athlete. Verse 5 says this. And if a man also strive for mastery, that's talking about a Corinthian or Grecian, a man striving for the mastery. That is, he's in a race. The word strive means to work hard, to get yourself a game, and then enter the race. And the mastery would be to finish the race and be a winner. He said, if a man strives for mastery, he doesn't do it unless he strives lawfully. You can't cheat. You can't cut off part of the race. You have to keep the rules. An athlete must keep all the rules and regulations in order to win the race. And it's no different for believers. We have a rule book, all God's people said. It tells us how to live. It tells us where to go. It tells us who to go with. We have a rule book. As a believer, I hate to inform you of this, but you're not to be in charge of your life. Jesus is. And as a soldier, a Christian must keep the rules in order to share in the victory. You don't win the race by cheating. You don't win the race by not following the rules. You don't win the race by not getting in the race. If any man would come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. We must be ready to share the sufferings of Christ, to be ready to run the race. So he says, Timothy, this being strong, this being a voice, is a picture of an athlete. Then there's one other, he said, it's a picture of a farmer, verse 6. The husbandman or farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Here's what it's saying. A farmer who farms, produces fruit, is the first one to get to enjoy the fruit. Amen? He picks the corn, and how many like corn? Man, there's something about bringing that corn in, boiling it, putting butter on it, a little salt. Man, that's just too good to think about. Farmers work hard. In fact, no work, no reward. They have rain, droughts, pestilence. Farm equipment is always breaking down. Animals die. They face difficulty after difficulty. And they do it in order to produce the right crop. He's saying to Timothy, if you're going to be strong, you're going to be a voice, you're going to produce the right crop. You have to work hard. You can't sit around. You can't do that. Now, what on earth would motivate Timothy to do that? What would be a motivation that would cause him to say, I want to do that? I mean, after watching the life of the Apostle Paul, it would have been easy for Timothy to say, I think I'm going to go into insurance. Because Paul's life was not the kind I want to follow. I mean, he was beaten, left for dead, beat with rods, 5 times received enough stripes to kill him. I mean, he suffered an incredible. And now he's telling Timothy, you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to stand in the stead of others. You're going to have to stand in the pulpit and preach the word. You're going to have to face all of these difficulties. Well, what on earth would motivate a man to do that? What would cause him to say, I'm going to follow. I'm going to get it done. Well, there's 3 things. Number one, there's a backward look. He says this, remember, here's the backward look. Remember, here's the motivation. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, is risen from the dead. According to my gospel. He said, here's what will motivate you. A resurrected Lord. Remember, Christ suffered all of these things that we've just described to you. He suffered the shame and torment of the cross. He endured the hatred of men and rejection by his own people. He became the trespass offering for all men by becoming sin for them. He suffered so agonizingly on the cross, dying in our stead, paying our sin debt. He stayed the course. He soldiered up. He ran the race perfectly. And valiantly, he worked hard, planted the seed, saw the crop grow, but he died. But this verse does not say, remember Jesus Christ. It says, remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David, risen from the dead. That tomb was empty on Sunday morning. Jesus walked out of it in a perfect risen body. He rose from the dead, which, by the way, is God's stamp of guarantee on your sins that were paid at the cross. Jesus doesn't rise from the dead. It does you no good. But thank God that Jesus did not stay dead. He rose from the dead, and ours is the only religion that has a risen Savior. He rose from the dead. And he's saying to Timothy, because you serve a resurrected Lord, you know the difference that that will make in your life, because now you're not serving a dead leader, you're serving a risen Lord. And it was the motivation to charge Timothy to stay the course, to fight the battle, to be the man he needed to be, to stand with courage in the face of adversity. You serve a resurrected Lord, Timothy. And when you stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning, you stand up knowing that you're not serving some silly religion that makes no sense, that some man wrote or some philosopher decided ought to be a good thing to practice. No. You stand up knowing that Christ is risen from the dead. Unbelievable stuff. Sweet says, Timothy, here's your motivation. Jesus is risen. Amen? But there's a second motivation. He said, first of all, he says, Timothy, look back. Then he said, Timothy, look outward. Look at the next couple of verses. Verse 11 says, verse 90 says, wherein Paul talking, wherein I suffered trouble. For what? For the resurrection. Paul didn't get persecuted because he preach a new philosophy of life. He wasn't persecuted because he tried to help people do better. He was persecuted because he told them Jesus raised from the dead. And there's no other way to be saved. Keeping the law won't do it. Being a good person won't do it. Trying as hard as you can won't do it. You must come to Christ. And Paul was beaten and persecuted and suffered at the hands of others because he preached that Christ was alive. And so he said, hey, here's a look at my life. Timothy, look at my life. I know what I'm talking about. Paul could have quit, but he didn't quit. And he was a walking example of what enduring for Christ meant. And what motivated him to do it was the resurrection. So Timothy, take a backward look. Take an outward look. Then he says, there's one more thing. take an onward look. Listen to this verse. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. All God's people said. Here's the onward look. You keep at it, Timothy. You do what you're supposed to do, knowing that you serve a resurrected Savior. Knowing that others have gone on before you, like myself, as an example so that you can follow, you can see it. Take that outward look, Timothy. Then he said, Timothy, take an onward look. That is, someday, someday, you will die. But you'll not die alone. You'll not die just simply as any other human being dies. You will die in Christ. And if you die in Christ, you'll be raised like Christ. All God's people said. Someday, we will reign with him. And all of this here will be worth it. All these temporal difficulties will vanish away because our purpose is not just to live here. Our purpose is to live here to get ready for that. All God's people say. And it's all based on this wonderful day that we're celebrating today, the resurrection. If Christ be not risen from the dead, we are yet in our sin. But he's risen from the dead. And what a powerful motivation for each one of us as believers to get the job done, to not quit, to have courage in the face of difficulty, to stand firm in the faith. Remember, Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. That's the thing Paul preached. That's the thing we're to preach. That's the absolute sealing of our belief system. We serve a risen Savior. Lord, help us to serve you, to love you, to live for you. Father, may we be motivated in our life to be strong, to be a voice, to be good soldiers, proper athletes, hardworking farmers in the field of service for Jesus Christ. We pray in God's name.